What's good, everybody? I'm John Jastrzemski, host of New York with JJ, the first podcast on The Ringer and Spotify dedicated to you, the New York sports fan. We've got episode three nights a week, plus bonus episodes whenever news breaks. So make sure you follow the show on Spotify.
Long ago in the town of Aberdeen lived a little dragon. Now this dragon didn't know it yet, but he would one day change the landscape of sports entertainment. He battled demons, injuries, doubt. However, this didn't stop him. He strived for greatness and rose to become an icon in the world of professional wrestling. This is an ode to Bryan Danielson.
To the people that said he was too small. From the powers that be that said his style and persona and principles wouldn't carry over. To the world who watched, rooted for, cried, and felt every hardship that he went through. From the injuries to the red-eye flights to the gyms to the empty bingo halls all across the world who got to witness what we already knew. Bryan Danielson is a movement. Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan, the American Dragon, the Eco Champ, the short guy, the underdog, the vegan, the husband, the father, the son, showed the world that he is box office. The alpha to the omega. He is sports entertainment. He is what I love about this industry. He is class personified, and I thank him for taking me, us, we, on this journey. Oh man, good morning, salutations, my people, Mac Mania Podcast, we back in the building, man. I don't think y'all know how like early it is. It's early for my boys right now. My boys is up, bright eyed and bushy tail. And I was gonna come in here and I was gonna talk like, man, it's early. And then I realized my boy is 3 hours early. It's like 6:45 for them recording. So I'm gonna just keep my mouth shut. Good morning, top of the morning, fellas.
Good morning, Matt. Yeah. Yeah, pull back that curtain. It is a early morning, but you know what? There's no place I'd rather be besides bed.
I thought she was gonna say here with me. Damn.
Kayfabe is dead, y'all. It's true.
I was like, man, I'm so tired of y'all right now. It's 9:45. I'm like, oh, hold on, man. My boys is in LA. Let me keep my mouth shut.
Man, when an alarm goes off in the morning, would you not trade anything to just be able to keep sleeping in, though, in that moment? The second the alarm goes off and you're in bed, I think if someone came up and said, Jack, you have to give everything you own and you get another hour, I'd say, deal.
Yeah. take everything but my eyes. Like, no, but, yo, I'd like to welcome everybody listening to the Mac Media Podcast. I really appreciate y'all for joining us, man. I got flobito.com. Hey. I got real Jack Farmer in the building. We had Extreme Rules. We had a whole bunch of things going down, man. We had Omega versus Bryan Danielson. We had a whole bunch of great stuff in a week, man. A whole lot of things happened during the week. But you hit me up, Jack, man, and you wanted to address the thing about Joe Gacy. I didn't know that much about it. I read a little bit about it. What were your thoughts, man? Let's open the show on a topic.
Gotcha. Yeah. So what I've been reading, and I'm not a journalist. I just read things on the internet and then act like
what the hell you doing
right
on the show
right off the bat.
Shot to self awareness. I just read stuff, you know.
I just speculate. That's all I do. But so this guy on NXT 2.0, he comes out and he has the "this is going to be a safe place" kind of character. Right. And apparently it got picked up by Fox News. They reported on it. And now NXT is taking the character off of TV and they are scrubbing him from history. They didn't like it. And for me, it's just interesting that you have a character that they always talk about. How do you get that mainstream media? How do you get it outside of just the wrestling sphere? As soon as it happens, they say, let's take a step back and forget this. This is kind of, it's like they said they wanted the smoke. They got the smoke. And now they're like, maybe we didn't want the smoke.
One of the good things and the worst things about professional wrestling is that the characters are always a slice of what's going on, right? Like, Sergeant Slaughter didn't have to turn heel and join the Iraqi militias, but he did, dang it. And so I think it got picked up for being like a shot against anti-wokeness. And I guess at that point, at the point in time, I think the company was like, we're not even going to play those games. Like, it doesn't make sense to split the fan base like that, especially as Tribute for the Troops is around the corner. But you're right, it is unfortunate for Joe Gacy. Guy has like what, 15 years experience, a former Evolved champion. You gave him a spot on 2.0, the show was basically revamped for someone like him, and go, yeah, we're going to do something else, I'm sorry.
You know? Yeah, so my thing about the whole situation is, what they knew what they were doing, right? Why'd they greenlight it?
That's my point.
It's not like
exactly.
He went rogue. It's not like he went rogue. He would never have done that. Dude, he didn't go rogue because they'd have pulled like the mic or went to break or cut him off or had Bad News Bear come and hit him with the bull hammer or something. I'm afraid I got some bad news.
That character was so underrated, man.
It really was. You hear my accent there, Monge? That joint was beautiful, man.
The best British accent ever.
But people be hating on my British accent. Y'all kick rocks.
You know, I look back at, they've done similar things like this, whether it be the Planet's Champion with Daniel Bryan, whether it be like Straight Edge Society, where you have this character that in a lot of ways has a good intention character, but it's turned up to a degree that it becomes annoying and you hate them. Even less successfully, I guess, Right to Censor in a way was that we're trying to be good people, but you hate us for it. So they've done it before. It's worked before. This one actually just broke through. And for me, it just seems crazy that you have someone that breaks through and you cancel it instead of saying, let's capitalize on it. Let's use this as a chance to put him on like morning talk shows and things like that and get it out there more.
So was Gacy, was he for what, conservatives? Was it conservative friendly? Is that what it was? Or was it liberal friendly? What was the, I'm trying to figure out which side.
So it seemed to me that it was open to interpretation. It felt like it was just a guy, individual, had a little bit of like that church basement, not church, but the church basement vibes. Like, come on down after it. We'll have a little bit of a talk or whatever. But I think the fact that it got interpreted that way, which to me is a symptom of a bigger issue. I felt like NXT 2.0 has a mission, even though all wrestling fans are like, what's the whole deal of everything? I think they're trying to do a certain demographic, a certain age group, a certain kind of sensibility, a certain kind of, I don't know, a demographic, for lack of a better term, and this was different. In fact, Fox News, which is pretty much an old media, like the people who watch Fox News tend to be older. I think it was kind of like, okay, this group loves this character, loves what it's talking about. We're out.
Yeah, it was interesting to me, man. Like I said, I know people don't like to hear, but it's true, man. There's typically two sides of the coin. There are conservatives, there's right, and there's left. And spoiler alert, and there are people that do have these views. I know it's crazy, man, but I got to address certain things no matter what I am. You know what I mean? I'm one of them chocolate brothers, man. I'm a liberal guy. I'm one of them guys. You know, I'm wholesome, man. I was broke when I was growing up. I kind of support the middle class and whatnot. I ain't never been in the top 1%. You know what I mean? Y'all can't be EC3. You know what I mean? So, like, hey. You know what I mean? So I kind of thought it was kind of refreshing that they were doing that. I said, listen, I don't mess with the powers that be. I don't mess with the top brass. What the hell do I know? I thought it could have been a little interesting to ruffle a little bit of feathers every now and again. Everybody's too damn comfortable nowadays, man. Ain't nothing wrong with a little feather ruffling.
Isn't that exactly what the character was supposed to be?
Yes!
Ruffling feathers? And isn't that what wrestling is? It's conflict. You want people to get emotionally attached to it or against it or hate it or love it. You want that. So again, it was weird to me that in a play, especially NXT 2.0, where that's kind of the whole point is to try this stuff out and do this stuff and see how it works.
Yeah, man, guys, what you guys think? If you guys are listening to this, man, drop us something in the Twitter sphere. Let us know what you think. I'm curious, man, because I don't want this to torpedo like his NXT career forever. That's what I'm worried about.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Does he get another crack at it?
I would hope so.
And hey, not to compare it though, but it's very interesting how sometimes characters get repackaged, or sometimes we accept it like a Zip Coulter, it gets repackaged as something else, or it gets cut off like a Muhammad Hassan. And you don't really want someone to not be able to perform based on something out of their control, but it really comes down to what the plan is.
Just because you wrestle alligators for a living doesn't mean you should have the skin of one. Say goodbye to dry and cracked skin with Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash with vitamin B3. Made for 24/7 renewing moisturization with daily use. With scents of vanilla and shea, people will think you've taken up candle making as one of your hobbies. And there is nothing wrong with that. Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash. Shop Old Spice now.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a segue, man. Speaking of repackaging, there was a repackage last night. I seen it. It was in the dark matches. This is why dark matches get on my nerves, because fans don't want to keep their damn mouth shut. So they already leaked it to a brother, so it wasn't a surprise to a brother. That's why I stay off the Twitter sphere every now and again. Keith with Bearcat Lee came out, paying homage to one of the oldest African-American wrestlers. He came out, he did his thing. It was a rebrand, it was a repackage, it was a re-gift, so to speak. Questions, comments, concerns?
To me, it didn't feel much like a repackage to me. It felt like they just gave him a new name and shorts.
That's not good.
Like, to me, no, I liked Keith Lee to begin with, but okay, if outside of the fact that we're saying his name is Bearcat and he's wearing baggy shorts, is he really that different than what he was last time we saw him on Raw?
No.
I see a little bit of
what,
difference.
Flo-bo?
I see a little
what?
Difference. Okay, so here's a problem. I think they were trying to solve. And again, I'm not a journalist, or I don't work in the back. I'm just a fan. It's like you
then
guys.
Then what are you doing on this show?
Well, because I got the best camera, y'all. No, I'm just kidding. So here's the deal. You look at Keith Lee, and the first time I ever saw Keith Lee was years ago. Old tapes for independent wrestling. And I had preconceived notions when he walked out the first time. But over a 15-minute, 20-minute match, I was like, oh, man, this guy can really go.
Absolutely.
The thing about Raw, you don't get 15, 20 minutes every week.
Absolutely.
You get like 8 with a commercial break. So I understand I'm trying to tweak Keith Lee, because you have to get fans who are maybe 6, 7 years old and their parents who are maybe casual to go, this guy is great. And I can tell you one thing, seeing a grown man as Bearcat says a lot about the character development and the investment in Keith Lee. And he came out with a little chip on his shoulder. Not too much. I mean, he beat up Akira Tozawa, which could go either way because he's a comedy act. But I saw a little bit of an edge that I didn't see before when he was on the main roster the first time. So I kind of like it. It's not going to solve everything, but I think it's a step in the right direction.
I don't think there was a problem with him, though. You know what I mean? What bothers me is I don't know if he needed a repackage. It wasn't my fault you guys were... Like, come on, that Royal Rumble moment, that Survivor Series moment, those moments still do resonate and they still do stick with me. I really don't know if Keith Lee needed a repackage. I didn't think there was anything wrong, Jack.
I'm with you. He was one of my favorite guys over the past couple of years, especially those big moments. Even in NXT, that GIFable moment where he got he plowed through Adam Cole, sending him into the stands.
Right.
And he was great, but this is my thought on it. If we have to call him Bearcat, but we get Keith Lee, I'm okay calling him Bearcat. If that's the only cost, as opposed to him getting some silly dancing gimmick or you know something like that, I'll take just calling him Bearcat and we get Keith Lee. I think that's a great trade. I'll take that any day of the week as long as I get Keith Lee on my TV.
To answer your question, I don't think he needed a repackage either. I really think it was a good product. If you want to use the business thing, a good at the wrong time. He came out, it was great, but then there was also the Braun Strowman train you had to deal with. I mean, there was other people going around. So like, when you take him off TV, you can't bring back the same thing. So that's why I think it was repackaged. But as far as him being out there and not connecting and say we have to change something, I don't think it was his case here.
Do you think it would have hit better if it was just a draft and he was just Keith Lee? You know, and but he was somebody was on SmackDown?
I think so. But you know what? Yeah. To Jack's point, I mean, now it's a draft with a funny hat. It's a draft with a new jacket. It's a draft with some new tights. Like, okay, take it. Very.
Emperor's new clothes.
It is interesting, though. It does kind of show that you sort of need to play ball a little bit on the, you know, on Raw and SmackDown. Because I'm sure, and I've never met Keith Lee, but I'm sure he was saying when he got there, no, this is who I am, this is what works, but it kind of shows sometimes you just got to go by the name Bearcat and put on some basketball shorts.
I swear to God. listen, man, I'm pulling for the brother, man, because I think he's a great talent. I think he does well. He represents himself well. He's a classy guy. He's a teddy bear, you know what I mean? As opposed to a bear cat. He's sweetest pumpkin pie. You know what I mean? So listen, I'm pulling for the brother, man. But yeah, listen, it was glitz, it was glamour, man. It was the class. I'm looking at Flo.
trouble right now. Look,
it's a glass. Pumpkin pie.
I couldn't think of something sweeter at the top. Flop out. This, I said, darling, my brain was working. I said, "What's sweet? What's sweet? What's sweet? What's sweet?" He said, "Listen, it was beautiful, man. It was Arthur Ashe Stadium, which an unorthodox place to have a wrestling match, man. But it was a culmination of something very beautiful, man. It was Kenny Omega. It was Bryan Danielson. It was one of those things. It was Clash of the Titans. It was, to me, to the best to ever do it. It's a guy in Bryan Danielson that I did not think he would be able to get medically cleared at WWE to all the way getting to this moment at AEW and getting the moment, had this match, and the crowd was hot. It was palpable. You could cut it with a knife. It was incredible. The match was incredible, as we all knew it was gonna be. Bryan Danielson, Kenny Omega, AEW was a masterpiece, probably the best match I think they've had in their entire short history. What say you? Yeah, I went there.
Well, I gotta be honest with you, it was top tier. You know what I'm saying? Look, New York City is a hot wrestling town. I'm born and raised in Brooklyn myself. Picking Arthur Ashe Stadium wouldn't be my first choice for venue.
I was interested.
But you know what? Why not make your own history and legacy, right? I think as a wrestling fan, you're like, well, if you could get the Hammerstein Ballroom Room, great. But the Arthur Ashe Stadium, that could be something they bring. Grand Slam, it's great because the team right next door, the Mets, aren't going to the playoffs. I think it was kind of ironic. Look, the match was great. I loved it. I think that Bryan Danielson is someone that we know he wants to still go. Kenny Omega's one of the top of his form. Even though I'm not the biggest fan of Kenny Omega, you can't deny that he has the chops, right?
You trying to get everybody Kenny? You trying to get my? Y'all get back Mania Kenny?
No, I just said he's my. Yeah. I said he's great. Cancel me, y'all. Leave back alone. I'll do it. I'll fall on the sword.
Give the smoke the flow out.
Top. I was telling to Jack on another show we do. I said, look, man, top of the hour. You give everyone what you advertise for. That's how you build goodwill with the fan base. My only caveat is, it shouldn't have been a time limit draw, but I understand they want to make sure there's another chance to have them do it again. So that's why I don't really say it's the best they ever had, because the match technically was a non-finish. You can't say it's the best if it hasn't been done, but it was great. It was great for what it was.
I know what you're saying. I'm trying to be diplomatic, because everybody be getting on me about hating DQs and hating non-finishes and non-contests and interruptions. I'm sorry. I'm trying to evolve here, because I hate all those things as well. So I'm trying to be glass half full and say that didn't ruin the spectacle. And Flobo's making me remember why I hate it.
I'm the sweetest pumpkin pie.
Damn it. I couldn't think of anything sweeter.
I'm with you guys. I think that when you don't have a clean finish, it's not as good. This match was amazing, by the way. I loved it. I'm not one of those star ranking guys. I know that there was a whole tizzy on Twitter about Meltzer giving this a 5-star review. By the way, that's a whole separate thing. I don't know why we get so worked up over how a guy ranks matches. I mean, yeah, he's been doing it for a while. But,
especially that guy, but just neither here nor there.
I mean, yeah, it's whatever. It's his opinion. Let him have his rankings. Make your own rankings if you don't
like it. For some
reason,
he's regarded as like a Christ-like figure, but I don't see it.
So in any case, this was amazing. I think this was the classic dream match that we thought of when AEW first started, if there was ever a crossover, something like a Kenny Omega versus a Bryan Danielson. My favorite part of this was before the whole thing really kicked off, though, is when they're in the ring. I love how they just soaked in the moment instead of just rushing into doing all this stuff. And my very favorite moment, Bryan Danielson smiling, the crowd's cheering, and it zooms in on Kenny Omega mouthing the words, "I don't give a shit." It was the coolest. Just as far as that role goes, just the greatest thing. I thought just that it's funny because we talk about how matches are more than super kicks and flips and things. And for me, that was
indeed.
That was it. They weren't even locking up yet. And I was like, this is great. They're just, they're using what they got. I agree, though. Can't be the best of all time if they don't finish it. I know people will say, yeah, but it'll build to other things. Well, you can't be the best if you're building to something else.
This is the first time I tried to be glass half full, because I hate non-finishes. And here y'all go. Listen, you know what, damn it. It wasn't the best. It wasn't the best match they've had today. Damn it, I'm tired of this, man. I'm serious, man. I'm trying to be that. I'm trying to change. I'm trying to evolve. I'm trying to grow.
You're not sticking to your hot take?
Hell no.
Are you even on this show?
He pulled the whole 7 WCW Dustin Reynolds thing. Sorry, guys. I was wrong.
Because I'm always like, you know what? Because every single time I'm like, man, it would have been dope if it got a finish. And everyone's like, come on, man. Like, it doesn't take away the artistry. The pageantry and I'm like, You know what? So I'm trying to grow. I'm trying to change. Every year I'm trying to reinvent myself. You know what I mean? And this is that one thing I'm going to modify. You know what I'm saying? I said it was going to be chocolate chip cookies, but I ain't never going to stop eating those. So I'm going to start. This is baby steps, man. I'm trying to say non-finishes can make good matches, even though it doesn't give you a result. I'm trying here, but I changed back, y'all. I've got peer pressure.
It can be a good match. It's just I don't think it can be the greatest if it's not self-contained.
Absolutely.
Like, if you have to look at other matches, it's kind of like why I never say Infinity War is the best movie of all time, because it needs so much other stuff.
Without the 15 movies before, it doesn't. No one cares.
Right.
Right. Exactly. So it can't be the best of all time. Now, this may lead to a better match, and that match may be incredible, and this may be the best thing in the world for them as far as what they're trying to accomplish. But in a vacuum, on its own, a time limit draw to me is never going to be the best, just like the best football game will never be a tie game.
That's fair. Like I said, yeah, and everybody out there understand, man. If that the hot take, that was a hot take. Infinity War not the best movie. I'm so sorry. It's just not. It's a cheat code. It's every single person in the damn movie, man. Everybody gets to cook.
Yeah.
Oh, damn it, Infinity War.
Don't get me wrong. Infinity War Endgame, my favorite to watch. But as far as best movie, I can't.
Have some guts. Say Incredible Hulk. Have some guts.
There's having guts and having brains. I don't know if that.
I'm a Winter Soldier guy, man. I love Ant-Man. I love Ant-Man. We're getting off topic, but I can talk.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
About that all day. Okay, so we got the draft coming up, guys. We got the draft coming up. I think it's starting Friday on SmackDown. They're going to shake things up. You know, people are going to switch here, switch there. I think there's going to be probably some surprises. Some people we haven't seen before. I'm actually thinking, hoping, this ain't nothing dirty. This is me just hoping Mia Yim pops up somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? A little Mia Yim action. But I wanted to do something a little different this morning, gentlemen. I wanted to do something because we're not going to do like our own draft, man. Listen, that would take up the whole damn show. Oh, yeah. And with all due respect to mock drafts, if it ain't Mel Kiper doing them, I really don't really give a damn about mock drafts because let's be real. The draft's fake. Our draft would be fake if the real one's coming Friday. Who the hell want to hear Evan Flobo and Jack's fake draft that ain't going to have no implications? So right. I said, let's do something a little bit different. Let's do, if we had a number one draft pick apiece, and taking every single professional wrestler, knowing what we know now, who would be our first pick in the draft? So, Jack, if you had to do it all over and you had a number one draft pick and Roger Goodell came out here and he was getting booed and they said with the number one pick, Jack Farmer selects who?
I'll boo Jack for no reason.
Right. That's fair. So I can pick anyone and I get their whole career
knowing what you know now.
Know what I know now. So you're telling me I can get a guy who's going to perform at an all-time top level for 15 years and take very little time off, and then when he's done, will still come back as a legend regularly.
Tom Brady?
All while being a sterling example in the community, making more make-a-wish wishes than anyone in history.
Snap.
And when he does retire, he's going to become a successful actor, and whether it's intentional or not, be an incredible ambassador to my brand, John Cena. And it's not even close. John Cena is the number one draft pick.
But I ain't arguing that at all. I'm kind of mad I didn't put it. Yeah, Lobo,
hold on. He took your number one draft, your GOAT pick. You're not upset about that?
No, because I had it. Because I'm trying. I told you I'm trying to grow.
You stole it from me.
I had the first pick, Lobo. That's how.
These things are hard for me to do. I'm trying to be objective here. This whole damn show would be Cena appreciation if I got away with it, but damn it, wouldn't nobody listen to this show? And I'm trying to keep the listenership, so I'm trying to be objective. It's hard. I was like typing every time I was typing. It was like that part in Liar Liar when I was trying to tape where the pen was, and I just kept putting Cena's name down. So what do you say?
Well, my wrestling promotion is going to have marquees all around the world. We want to have an iconic figure, something you can instantly see and go, oh my gosh, this guy killed it in his day. It can still hang today, whether or not it was a character work, whether it was pomp and circumstance, or that elbow drop. Macho Man Randy Savage is my pick. The Macho King. I mean, whether or not you like Slim Jims or not, this guy is quintessential pro wrestling in multiple eras. That's my pick with the bullet.
I can't argue with that at all, man. I think Slim Jims are still around because of that, man. God rest his beautiful, sweet soul.
They still have his cardboard cutout on their advertisement.
I bet the hell they do.
I love that when he came to WCW, he just rocked Slim Jim gear.
That was the best.
Can I say underrated characters? Like the Madness era of Macho Man was fantastic for that new era.
Yeah, like I said, Macho Man is my favorite wrestler growing up, man. So like I can't argue with anything you're saying. As far as my first pick in the draft of any wrestler, I gotta go with Stone Cold Steve Austin, man. I think it would be very interesting to see how he would survive in this day and age right now, and how people would perceive him. And I just gotta give Stone Cold a little bit of love on the show, man. Stone Cold Steve Austin was my number one pick, knowing what we know now, what he represents, what he was willing to do, how he's willing to just be involved in so many great matches with so many great superstars, man. The Bret Hart feud is absolutely sensational. Him with The Rock, absolutely sensational. Him with Vinnie Mac, absolutely sensational. You could put him with anybody right now. I would love to see peak Austin in this era with all these superstars right now, just to see what he would do, how he would approach, how he would attack. He's definitely more geared to AEW now, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But I would like, but it'd be interesting to see him in this WWE with all the great talent that they have and represent. Because think about it, Austin and Roman would be dope. You know what I mean? So, it'd be really dope to see that. So I got my first pick in the draft would be Stone Cold. If Lobo has Randy Savage, Jack has John Cena. I want to know what you guys would think if you had to do it all over again, knowing what you know now, and you had one pick. Who would your first overall pick be in the entire history of professional wrestling draft? I got it right, but it's okay if y'all got it wrong.
I better see a bunch of people say Andre the Giant. I better see everyone be like, Andre the Giant would be my first overall pick.
Jack, turn on the fans.
My goodness, listen, man, listen. We had Fergalicious definition. I don't even know how you do copyright stuff. Yo, we had Ferg go against Roman Reigns, Extreme Rules. I wanted to touch on Extreme Rules a little bit. I didn't want to go down the whole damn match card. Everybody else already done that already. We had Fergalicious going against Roman Reigns, highlight of the night. Fergalicious doing his thing.
You say Fergalicious, I think like Alex Wright when he was doing the dancing gimmick, like down the ring and stuff.
Yo, shout out to Alex Wright, baby. But the highlight of the night, Roman Reigns getting masked up in the crowd. That was the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Masking up, beating the brakes off Fergalicious, coming back, unmasking, beating the brakes off of Fergalicious. I love this match for so many reasons. I know people are mad at the finish. I was kind of upset at the finish because I just wanted to see them go. That kind of just makes me see now makes me rich. And this is why I changed my thing, you know, about the whole Omega and Brian Danielson thing. You see what I'm saying? Because I was getting bombarded with all this, dude, come on, man. Why are you getting mad at the finish of, like, you know, Ferg and like in Roman? I was like, damn it, what y'all want? I'm trying here, man. I didn't like the finish, man. I wanted to see that finish. But overall, I thought the match was sensational, even though I do think Bianca and Becky stole the show last that night. I think that was the best match of the night, besides the tag team match, of course. But I just wanted to talk about that match. Was the expectation what you thought? Did it exceed your expectation? Did you like the match? Did you hate the match? Did you like the finish? Did you hate the finish? What say you?
As a match on its own, I loved it. I didn't like the finish either. To me, it was a very flat ending. It kind of took away from it a little bit for me personally. But The match itself was great. I also loved that Roman put on the mask. I thought it was very funny. I got to be safe while I'm fighting a demon.
Incredible!
I got to be. But it was actually really, I thought that was a great moment. The whole match in general, some people may have thought it was cheesy, but I loved when Balor was out and his music hits and he comes back to life. I thought that was, it gave me very old school Undertaker vibes. I was there for it. The kid wrestling fan in me was just over the moon when he did that. Again, I wasn't a huge fan of the turnbuckle breaking as the reason that he lost. It just felt a little like eye roll to me. I know some people are like, it, you know, kind of protects the demon in a loss. I'd rather he just lost than kind of stumble in a trip or whatever, causing the loss.
Or he's already lost the demon before, you know.
Yeah, or as even I would have preferred a more blatant action. Even I would have preferred more if the Usos just got the upper hand and they beat him down or something, as opposed to the ring broke. And I'm sure they'll have some kind of story for it or continuation of it on Friday. But for me, I just wanted to see the match. It's like this: the demon comes out every like 2 years. Don't give me a funny finish. Because it's gonna
make
be another
a decision.
Two, right. Yes, it's gonna be another 2 years before we see him again. And now I'm gonna be like, yeah, the last time.
2 years, I was embarrassed. Either way, I like the match too. You know what? Because I'm outside, I'm doing the events outside, and sometimes I feel like a total loon when I'm in a room outside wearing my mask and no one else is, you know, trying to be safe as I can. I get a little kind of awkward, like, I kind of like, you know, uncomfortable. But you see the tribal chief stick his hand out and say, mask me, bro. I go, you know what? If he can do it, I can do it. So I can imagine my impressionable youth, I'll probably be getting all the masks. They should have those on sale at Shop Zone, you know what I'm saying? All the masks.
Yeah, I would have run straight to that shop. Like, mama, buy me the mask.
Buy me the mask. Look, big match Balor, man. When you need someone to look good in a short space of time, unfortunately, Finn Balor is that guy. I think going in, we didn't have any expectations of him winning. But as a writer, I would love to have him win that match. But the match itself was great. The finish, I'm okay with. What I'm not okay with is that Finn Balor got the same Goldberg disease, the same Bobby Lashley disease of clutching the knee, right? If you're a referee and that happens, it's a mass stoppage, right? It'd be like, oh my God, he's hurt. This is something outside of the realm of wrestling. This is beyond what happens normally. Let's stop the match. So that led to the loss. That's why I think people are up in arms. But the idea of something happening that was out of that you couldn't expect causing a demon to lose, I'm okay with. So, like, I'm not glorious about it. I probably won't say it's the best match of the year, but it got the job done.
Fergalicious. His body's so vicious. He be up in the gym just working on his finish.
Working on his finish.
Working on his finish.
Just working on his finish. Listen, no, look.
Yeah, I swear to God, yeah. I wouldn't have the moxie to say that dude's face, man, because I ain't trying to get slid. Don't let it tell you that dude, he's small in stature, but he's larger than life. I can't explain it. He got an aura, I'm telling you. He's got a glow.
He's a rock star.
Yeah, he got like an Irish glow. I swear, as God is my witness, I am not playing. That dude like levitates when he walks in the room. I swear to God. I was like, this dude is a superstar, man.
I said it before. I'll say it again. Go wear a leather jacket and just your underwear and walk around the house and tell me if you have even a fraction of the confidence that dude does when he walks out to the ring. Because like, it takes some, you got to be a special kind of person to truly pull off the leather jacket, and he does it in his ring gear. Come on, like that's unparalleled.
True,
that's unparalleled.
But everybody listening right now, man, on the Mac Media podcast, I wanted to bring it down a couple notches, man. I wanted to bring it down a couple notches and get real serious right now, man. There's a little bit of time for that D-Lo appreciation, you know what I'm saying? D-Lo appreciation in the building right now. What's going on, Flobo?
You know, the deal is D-Lo Brown is one of the best to ever do it, but doesn't get the credit he deserves. But I'm not talking about D-Lo right now. I'm talking about one of the most famous, the most influential, one of the most decorated professional wrestlers of all time. I'm talking about the phenomenal one, AJ Styles. Former WWE champion, now working with Omos. And you see Omos has gone by leaps and bounds. He's jacked up with a legend. But I can tell you one thing. At a promotion that's thriving right now called Impact, AJ credits one man for learning about the business and learning about character work and learning about being the best he could possibly be. And that man is D'Lo Brown. I have a quote here for you. D'Lo once said, after the match, AJ would pick my brain and we'd go out to dinner and talk psychology and talk about the business. And not that I claim to have taught him everything, but I feel I had a small part in building the guy with that short hair to now being the phenomenal one on television. So without D'Lo Brown, there ain't AJ Styles. And that's this week's D'Lo Appreciation.
Damn, there was a D'Lo roundabout way. He used D'Lo. He appreciated D'Lo by talking about AJ being great. It was a it was like a Christopher Nolan type twist. I didn't see it coming.
And to think that maybe this is why AJ has long hair now is incredible.
Ironic, D'Lo told him, hey man, a guy without hair, you should probably go use out.
Yo, we've been to yo. Shout out to D'Lo Appreciation, man. That was I didn't see it coming, man. Oh my goodness, guys! It's been 2 weeks in a row we've done Mount Rushmore of who we thought are the best of all time. Like not our favorites of all time, or who we feel should be on the Mount Rushmore for professional wrestling. Flo will give you his. Jet gave you his. So I'm giving you mine right about now. I'm going to start. I'm just going to go to every Flobo's licking his chops.
I rubbed my hands like this. Birdman.
I thought about this. I gave this some deep thought. I was wondering what I could do. And I was like, you know, I have a couple ideas, man. So I'm going to go with, I kid you not, Macho Man Randy Savage. That's my guy. John Cena is on my Mount Rushmore. I'm not taking him off for you haters.
Ba-ba-na-ba. Jack drafted
him. I do have, I did put Stone Cold on there. I will explain. And Bret the Hitman Hart. So, how do you feel about this before I explain it? How you feel? Is it eclectic enough? Is it okay? Did it hit you wrong? Did anything give a chill up your spine? You feel like I was disrespecting anybody?
Andre the Giant.
Andre the Giant got drafted. I don't know how you come
ain't
with
none
that.
Of us gonna put. Ain't no one's putting on Andre the Giant. I'm sorry. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that happen afterwards. And my guys put on some great people, man. And I was like, and it's why it's so good. We did three different ones because I feel like we got a lot of people. The 12 people we picked, we got a lot of people, man. Macho Man for me when I was growing up, man, he was everything. When you're younger and you see somebody, he's one of the first brightly colored guys you see, man. Like the my favorite thing about him is when I read and I heard that he. He had super anxiety problems and he had super stage fright and he had to cut promos. And to me, one of the greatest things about him is how he turned that awkwardness and that persona and turning his body away from the camera and putting on the glasses and he turned it and turned that frown upside down and made it a part of his mystique. And he would just say things and do things. And him and Mean Gene, I'm sure he would credit Mean Gene for a lot of these interactions and Sherry, God rest her soul. And these things that, what he would do based in like literally using his anxiety to his strength is one of my favorite things. I thought he was awesome in the ring as far as that time and what he represented and being like literally an icon, man, and reinventing himself in WCW and being literally was just embodied everything I wanted to, as far as a professional wrestler, man, from the gear to the promos to the just being outrageous, man, just outrageous. Just listen to him do a commentate on WrestleMania 9. Yeah, I brought it up again.
WrestleMania. Like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
It's not
WrestleMania
my fault.
9.
It just somehow always pops up. It's a great pay per view. No, so that's Macho Man. I love Macho Man. That's why I kind of love that you talked about it earlier, Flobo. You kind of like checked all the boxes that I wanted to talk about, so I didn't have to talk about it as much, man. I just love Macho Man. I put him on my Mount Rushmore. He's never going away, and that leads me to Cena. Cena is what I feel like. We talk about it all the time. I know people talk about Impact, and I talk about being a guy to go through like that Attitude Era, and you know, and Ruthless Aggression, and trying to come up with the new era when they're trying to make things more kid friendly, and they were trying to make things more commercial, and they were trying to attract different people. They had to find a guy that was able to do it. They had to find a guy that was willing to be able to make fun of himself, but also stay true to his values. They had to find someone that was willing to put in the work to get better in ring. They had to find somebody that was going to make people better. They had to find someone that could cut promos. They had to do all this in everyone. And I know he's on the Mount Rushmore, whether people want to admit it or not, because he moves the needle. No matter what, when he comes out, now people just chant Cena sucks just because it's fashionable. I don't even think y'all believe it anymore. Truly. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if y'all believe it anymore, because when he was gone, I think y'all felt his absence, because I was there live when that dude's music hit. There wasn't no one else. Everyone was standing on their feet. That to me, that shows an icon. That's somebody that's standing the test of time. That's John Cena on the Mount Rushmore. What you want me to say? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was on my Mount Rushmore, the correct Mount Rushmore, and for an obvious... I swear to God. Like, no, the Cena Sucks kitchen. Things, I think, is right up there with the Kurt Angle Suck chant. It's just a thing you do.
So annoying, though.
I think the guy saying "Let's go Cena" is the same guy saying "Cena sucks" in those dueling chants. I think it's just the same people. Like people are saying both. They're not just picking one. They're just like, "Let's go Cena. Cena sucks. Let's go." You know, and of course Macho Man. It doesn't get mentioned enough that outside of Hulk Hogan, Macho Man's still the number one impression of what a pro wrestler is.
100%.
Like if you go, in fact, a lot of people I think do Macho Man impressions before they do Hogan impressions. And
those were the two though, man. Those guys were icons, man.
Yeah.
And he doesn't get enough credit for his longevity as well, because going from the 80s through the Attitude Era and the NWO and all this other stuff, he's been around forever. And just amazing matches, just a rock star of a guy, too, using that term again, except definitely like in the 80s, he was exactly what a rock star would look like, with his tassels and cowboy hats and like big...
That's Motley Crue or like White Snake or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, except just the most intense promos ever. Like,
Jesus. Yo, y'all listen, if anybody ain't seen that, listen to me, man. Y'all got to watch that. The Better Than the Best promo with Sherry. Y'all got to watch Cream of the Crop, of course. You got to watch this dude. Yeah. This dude is unbelievable. Yeah, watch that Better Than the Best. It's like a minute long, man. But it's so damn good. Yeah, Macho Man Cena, Austin, for obvious reasons, man. Just being that guy that made throwing up a middle finger fashionable, got so many kids in trouble at school.
And adults.
I never forget it. It's separate, but it's kind of the same. I remember when DX were doing their whole sucker thing, and they took, like, when I was in school, teachers didn't know what kids were doing until one day they like found out and they like outlawed it. We were like, everyone was like doing that in the hallways to each other, like the suck it thing, and the teacher didn't know what it was, and then one day they found it, like, this has been banned from school. Like they just some. It's like, I just picture some teacher like watching like Raw one night accidentally and being like, "What?
Oh, like, dear
that's
Lord!
What they're doing."
Sound the alarm.
So Austin and everything he represents when it comes to his persona and his attitude and being that guy from the Ringmaster and cutting that promo at the King of the Ring and something I don't even think he knew. I don't think he knew it was gonna hit. I didn't think he knew when he said that to the King of the Ring and you'd come out that Monday, it would be like that. So to be able to if you watch Broken Skull Sessions, you hear how his ring acumen and how he always talks about telling stories in the ring, and where he talks about bumps, or he talks about what each person represents and how they are as a superstar. He's a student of the game, career cut too short, and I don't think too many people argue me if I put him on the Mount Rushmore sports entertainment.
I'm actually surprised that we haven't seen his name come up more often in our Mount Rushmores, honestly. I mean, he's the face of one of the most popular eras of pro wrestling, and as you mentioned, I think everyone, to a degree, even just the idea of getting to flip off your boss and hit him with a stunner is, I think people wanted to live vicariously through him so much as well. And some of that I always remember with someone like Stone Cold, though, is patience. Like, right. A lot of people, they think about him, his time on the mountaintop, but he was around for a long time before he got there. Yet I still see so many people, you know, they'll see a CM Punk go to AEW and they're like, why isn't he challenging for the world title right now? Let him have time. Let him get going. Because it was even as Stone Cold was super hot, it was still a while before he became the champion.
It's true. Yeah,
and so that's what I always
slow
think
cook,
about
baby,
with him.
Slow cook, baby. Slow
cook. Give him time. It doesn't have to happen overnight.
Excellence of execution. Best there is, best there was, best there ever will be. We all know with how many great products come out of the Great White North, not just Vesper of Evil, but so many, so many different great wrestlers. Think about it, how many people say they come out of the Landstorm Academy. I don't want Jack to lose his mind.
He popped
right
hard.
Now.
You saw.
We don't got too much. We don't got too much time left.
Boy,
it's like Landstorm appreciation next week, guaranteed.
but literally, just when you think Canada, when you think professional wrestling,
name, one of the names you think about. It's the Hart Foundation. It is Stu's Dungeon. It is Bret the Hitman Hart for different reasons. God rest Owen Hart's soul. And then you got Natty still doing her thing. Jim the Anvil. Now, all these great things. TJ, all these great things that come out of there. There's so many great products that come out of there. Kevin Owens. It's like, you know, but we can go and go and go and go about how many great Canadian wrestlers there are. But I think one of the foundations of all that and the reason why people have a love for the business is Bret Hart and his family and what they represent. So I always got to give, it took me a little bit to think about who the fourth person should be, but I got to put Bret Hart on the Mount Rushmore as well. Excellence of execution. And I still want them damn sunglasses.
The greatest Canadian wrestler of all time is Trish Stratus. But I would have thought that
I ain't gonna argue with Boo. want me to say, boy,
Stratus five.
She is. She's Stratus five for real. I thought you would have put Randall Keith Orton on that list, man. I really thought you were a Randall Keith Orton guy that you would have put him in there.
Yeah, and you know, because I call him top five all the time. So he's like I said, we're not doing favorites. I'm doing Mount Rushmore. Favorites list we'll do another time. I hold Randy in high regard than most people think I do. And one day people will know how high I say. When I say top five, nobody knows where I put him in the top five. Oh, but he's way up there. Way up there. He literally is exactly what I would build. Chris Hemsworth's the guy I would build in the laboratory, but the wrestler I'd build in the laboratory, that dude right there, man. Randy Orton, he's everything, man. I'm gonna tell you, that's the mighty Mississippi right there, man. Constant and consistent, baby.
That's how good Randy Orton is. And talking about Bret Hart being on the Mount Rushmore, we're talking about Randy Orton. That's how good.
I can't tell you how much. I'm one of those people. You want to talk about a hot take? I'm one of those people who think the greatest faction in history is Evolution of all time. Of all time. Oh yeah, I'm one of those. We'll talk about that different day.
Sure. Yeah, Randy Orton, I think definitely. Definitely, once he's gone, and I always think you got to get people out of your, they got to be off TV before you get to like really encapsulate them. But I agree, he's one of the all times, and he's always slowly moving up my list personally. But Bret Hart, growing up, he was my guy. He was my favorite, Bret Hart. I love the obviously I'm a Lance Storm fan, so I love the serious wrestlers that were like good technically. I always loved that. I like that he's kind of getting his flowers a little bit more than he was, because a lot of people I think were Shawn Michaels guys, and Shawn Michaels great too. But it seems like a lot of people with teams like FTR and stuff talking about how great Bret Hart was.
Yeah.
He's starting to get a little bit more credit again. I love Bret Hart. And to your point, man, those sunglasses. I love that jacket. I love the whole thing. I'd have killed someone for those.
What the hell you mean, no, Flo? But what you mean,
though? I'd have killed someone for those sunglasses.
I don't want to be canceled. I've been already canceled 3 times in this episode. But I was never a Bret Hart fan. Like, never. I was never a Bret Hart fan. Not
you wouldn't be.
I wouldn't be. Like, I call Bret Hart a BMW wrestler, and that is they're fantastically made and crafted, but I would not buy one. I would not drive one. And so, sorry for the brand drop. I'm just saying. So, like, when people gush about Bret Hart, I nod and I go, wrestling's for everyone. I have a segment called D-Lo Appreciation. I ain't mad at you. But as a kid, I would watch Bret Hart come out in pink and give away his glasses like, he's just trying to get kids to like him. And I never had any connection to him. So I'm sorry.
Flobo's
don't ever apologize for your opinion, man. This is America. But
Flobo's cruising around his radio flyer saying he wouldn't drive a BMW.
Yeah, man. I'm pushing myself on like a skateboard.
I'd
have killed someone for those glasses. You can say whatever you want, man.
Me too.
If I was like in the second row and Bret Hart came out, I would have killed the kid in front of me and taken his spot. Like right there. Little Jack, I would have just
Jack, don't kill that child. Listen, man, yo, we're gonna have to unpack that Bret Hart thing. I would love
that, because I understand, like I said, that's what's beautiful about it. You don't have, everyone's like, dude, I go, you stop back. That's what I always say to people when I say something. I go, Do you like Brussels sprouts? And some people are like, no. I go, then you're a hater. I go, you don't like everything.
That's right.
Like, everyone doesn't, there's things that you don't like or things that you don't agree with. Why does everyone act like when someone says something that you don't agree with, that it's bad? I go, you don't like everything.
Right.
You don't like everything. You know what I mean? Like I said, I'm not the biggest Beyonce fan, but everybody freaks out. Yeah, I went there, damn it.
The Bay High? Are you kidding me?
She alright. I give you. You were talking about a BMW. I give her the so-so hand.
She's a BMW.
I give her the. But with that,
so-so.
I give her the. She's like meh. But with that being said, Flo B, those Boothang of the week.
Lobito was Boothang of the week.
It better not be Beyonce.
Well, yes, it's going to be Beyonce now. So this week was actually pretty dope for the women. A lot of choices here. We had the Master Solo show, as you said. Becky Lynch came back. Sasha Banks had the appearance at Extreme Rules. Not to mention Bianca Belair is proving she can hang. And just to say, that jacket on Friday, having the four horsewomen on her shoulder was dope. Very cool. But my pick is actually the most curious storyline I'm all about. And it's Naomi. Naomi is somebody that people love on Twitter. They say she is an opportunist, and they made that into a storyline. And I love the fact that Sonya Deville is neutral with every other person in the roster. But for some reason, it's pissed off when Naomi's like, can I have a match? Can I do what I've been contracted to do? So I'm on board with this. This got a little bit of a protest segment on Friday Night SmackDown, having her forcibly removed for asking for a match, which is pretty cool. Even though we're on a show that people ask for matches all the time, it's nutty, but it gets Naomi on TV. And finally, a personality trait we can grab onto and go, I see myself in her. First step is the best step. Naomi's boot thing of the week.
Can't argue with anything about Naomi getting some shine. I don't care, even though they're leaning into an angle because people are giving them a whole lot of shit for it. So I like when people lean in this dumb. Like, you know what? Let's not ignore this because people are giving us some smoke. Like, they're seeing what's going on in the Twitter sphere. There's a groundswell because that chick is a superstar. Mm-hmm. And they know it. I don't want to hear nothing about people cutting promos, because if we start doing that about people who can't cut promos, the rosters across the world will be very, very slim pickings. Let's stop acting like everybody can cut a promo. Listen, can we please stop? There's like 5% of the world of professional wrestlers that can cut a dynamite promo. Let's stop, please. Right. So that's not why you guys are holding her back. But I like that she's getting shine right now.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, Evan, too. I love when they lean into stuff like this. Like,
yeah, lean
it's
in.
There. It's there. It's already made for you. Just follow along with it. And again, this is one of those things where I think being patient and her not getting a match the first week she asked and making us wait and making it build up. And then she's going to get that match. And then I don't know how it's going to go, but it's going to be something we're all excited about now. And it's going to be just a match instead of it like being some big deal. And that's the magic of wrestling, is when you can make the smallest things feel important. And so this is great.
Absolutely. And, you know, so like I'm pulling for it, man. Let's Naomi boot thing in a week. Let's just go, man. You know, damn it. Naomi two belts. Let's keep give her all the titles. Naomi tag team champ. Let's just give her all the belts. I'm just and shout out to the Beehive. I can't stand y'all either. Listen, we gonna end this show with the great segment I call Haul the Way, Jackie Boy.
Yes, Haul the Way. So this is a segment where I'm gonna name a wrestler and we try to figure out if they retired today, if they retired right now, have they already done enough to go to the Hall of Fame? We're not saying what they will accomplish as their career continues. We're assuming if they retired right this minute. So I'm going to pitch a name to you guys. And before I explain my thoughts, I'm just going to say the name and let me know what you guys think. If this person's done enough to go to the Hall of Fame, has Baron Corbin gone Hall the Way? Has he done enough at this point to make it to the Hall of Fame if he retired today?
Damn.
You're asking if the happiest man in WWE is able to go to the Hall of Fame?
Because I love me some Baron Corbin, but I will respectfully say no. But I love him. Love.
So, but not at this point. So you think he might make it down the road, but not yet.
Yeah, but not at this present. No, not if his career stopped, because that's what this is about. If his career stopped today, would he get in the Hall? I say no.
What was his accolades? King of the Ring.
It's a good question. He's a U.S. champion, former U.S. champion. Okay. Andre the Giant Memorial Trophy winner,
okay.
Mr. Money in the Bank, King of the Ring, Assistant General Manager, WWE Year-End Award for Most Hated, and he retired Kurt Angle while being a featured main player on the main roster for 5 years.
So
can I waffle today?
Waffle, baby.
So
he's in, baby.
Right, here's the cons. If you're looking against it at this point, still hasn't won a world title. Failed to cash in the Money in the Bank. And
that's true.
For all his other things, he's only actually won one championship. All other things aside.
So hearing that, I'm going to say I'm completely confident in saying that I would not put him in the Hall of Fame. And here's why.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do.
Because retiring people isn't really that big. I mean, it is to wrestling fans, but like no one cares that Zack Ryder retired Tommy Dreamer in ECW. Like no one.
You know what I mean? It's like a, you know, it's like a thing. It's like a respect, a sign of respect.
Yeah.
You know, it's a passing of the torch.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's.
But that doesn't really get to the Hall of Fame. King of the Ring, I was like, well, that's something. But then like,
didn't
Billy Gunn win the King of the Ring 1 year? Like in 99? Like that's not really a guaranteed.
He is in the Hall of Fame.
As DX, not as a solo competitor. Like he's part of the Generation X, New Age Outlaws.
Touché.
So like, I look at every one of those U.S. championship doesn't really mean as much as the Intercontinental Championship.
How
so
dare you?
It does. No, in WWE. In WCW is a whole different thing. I'm with you. Please don't hurt me, Jack. Yeah, please. But yeah, I think Liz and all those things, even though I enjoy him, I got to say no. I have to say no.
Yeah, I'm saying no as well.
Yeah, it's. I think it's a close one, but to all the points you're saying, I don't know if it's just yet. I think he will be. I don't know whether he's a headliner or not. I don't know, but he'll. I think he'll definitely get there. It's crazy how much he's been on TV, how much he's been used, how many accolades he does have for having just the one championship reign, though. That actually shocks me.
Curse
he's
the
trying so many, and he's trying. I like what he's trying to make lemonade out of everything he's been given. I really do respect that. Like I said, he's a student of the game. He's actually really a really smart dude and a deep thinker, man. If you really listen to him talk, like when he's off script, so I'm pulling for him. Truly,
he's the best heel in the game, and that's and I know people say no, it's MJF, no
Baron Corbin,
maybe even Nia Jax, but those two.
And there's something about a heel that makes me think like they can beat the brakes off me. And Baron strikes terror. I think Baron can hurt me, man. Physically.
Yeah.
I mean, that's another thing that's about a heel being good. Like, there's some intimidation factor. That's a big dude, man. All the way, Jack Farmer says, Baron Corbin, what say you guys? We all say no currently. That was a damn good haul the way. I was, because I don't want to slander my man Baron Corbin, but I do want to slander Beyonce. That's it for us right now. No, but no. Flo, watch. She got mad power, man. This thing might get canceled tomorrow. Really?
Yeah. Yo,
love you, Beyonce.
Sasha Fierce, where you at?
Yo, Flo Bo, Jack, yo, your boy E-Mac, man. Mac Mania, yo, we out, yo.